The following is a class given by His Holiness Rompad Swami on Sri Sukshastakam, verse 3, part 1, recorded on 24th May 2008 in Gitanagari, United States.
Chanting this third verse of Sikshastakam. Before we get underway, I thought it would be nice to share something with all of you. From experience in situations where deities like Sri Sri Radha Damodar, who reveled in their heyday of Vishnu John's worshipping them, they reveled or basked in the joyous kirtan of many, many, many persons. Very unique. Vishnu John Swami was very unique. And the worship of Radha Damodar was very unique for Radha Krishna deities to travel about in bus and do what they did, giving their mercy to so many people. So, I can say from experience with Radha Govinda also, how the deity gets so much pleasure. They visibly can show how pleased they are without how displeased they are. So the joyous kirtan is not only bringing us pleasure, but it's because Sri Sri Radha Damodar are very, very pleased. They're very happy. I can tell you. They're very happy. And that makes us very happy, that we can bring them happiness through the chanting of the holy name like we just did. Very nice. So, it's nice to serve Krishna and make Krishna happy, knowing that what you're doing is making Krishna happy. Sikshastakam 3 is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's answer to Sri Radhika's question yesterday. Why? These glories are there in the holy name, but I cannot access them. Instead, Durdaivam Yitrish Mahajani Nado Raga. I have no attraction. Some attraction. But from an absolute perspective, what is that? No attraction. Infinitesimal attraction. So how does one move from that position? That's our focus on this weekend. How do we make effort and receive mercy. Because devotion is made up of these two things: striving with sincerity and eagerly receiving mercy. And so moving from our covered position to the position of purity. Listen very carefully. This is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings on this point. Trinnadapi Samichena. Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, raising my hands, I declare everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Nice instruction. As I mentioned yesterday, this idea, the metaphor, is like an ornament. And the ornament is to decorate the devotee. Krishna decorates his devotee. Why would Krishna want to decorate his devotee? Because Krishna is very loving. He likes to decorate his devotee. And the devotee likes to please Krishna and come before Krishna with whatever decorations Krishna places, in a prideless manner, in a mood of service manner. So this is an instruction from Lord Chaitanya directly. Everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name. So the thread, just like the necklace shown in the picture, you don't see the thread, but the thread is holding the necklace. Otherwise they're scattered, little pieces. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything rests upon me. Sutre manigana eva. As pearls are strung on a thread. That's everything is resting upon Krishna. And now we're devotees of Krishna. So whatever there may be, you may find, there's nothing of a good quality in me. But that's saying Krishna is not potent. Krishna is potent. Krishna is omnipotent, all potent. And he likes to decorate his devotee. So foremost, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is, let these become decorations of our chanting of the holy name. I'll say it 10 times at least in the course of this morning. Through our effort to cultivate and also receive this decoration, these four qualities that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in this verse. Trinadapi Sunichena. The trin sometimes is translated as grass, lower than a blade of grass. Sometimes, more literally, it's straw. I've heard Dinabandhu describe this many times. When you step, you go outside and walk to your car, or wherever you're going, walk across the lawn, there's grass. But the grass is very humble, so when you step on the grass bows down. But after stepping on the grass, whoop, he's back up again. But straw stays down. So trin. Trinadapi Samichena. Feeling oneself lower than a blade of grass. So I'm going to go through this twice. First, just the presentation here visually, and then come back again and discuss Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentaries on this verse. So, in the pictures, can't see so well because of the light, but this is in the Jagannath Puri temple, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing by the Garuda Stambha. There's Garuda up there. And here's this very enthusiastic, too much enthusiastic, Bengali Vaishnavi, who's climbing on the shoulders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to get darshan of Lord Jagannath above the crowd of people. And Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wants this lady to get off the shoulders. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, get down. And Mahaprabhu scolded Govinda, saying, if only I had such enthusiasm as this lady to see Lord Jagannath, then maybe I could have some love for Krishna in my heart. So once she was in so much enthusiasm, she didn't even know what she was doing. When she saw what she was doing, she felt terrible. Came down and apologized. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you did the right thing. Thinking of oneself in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the example. Not, I'm up here, you're down there, so make sure you stay down there, because I'm up here. And following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, how much Prabhupada loved to describe this scene that we see pictured in the other side of Sanatana Goswami, with all of his credentials, all of his upadis, all of his designated qualifications, from a Saraswati Brahmin family and learned in seven languages and the prime minister of, at that time, half of India, and so intelligent, so learned, so elevated, so decorated with so many material ornaments. Yet he placed his trin, the straw, within his teeth and came and held the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pleading with him to please tell me who I am. Please instruct me in the goal of life. This is consistently the mood. So many, many, many examples are there in the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How this mood of humility was exhibited. King Prataparudra, although he was king of Odisha, he removed his royal attire and took the simple dress of a Vaishnava and came before Lord Jagannath with a broom to sweep the street before Lord Jagannath. So one may think that's an honor, but it was not just the act, but it was the mood. Later, just so you can get some sense of this, one king in another province was requested by Prataparudra to accept, to give his daughter, princess, to King Prataparudra, who then rejected the offer, saying, I'll not marry my daughter to a street sweeper. there was a war because of that remark. But because of that mood of King Pratap Rudra, what happened? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's resistance to associate with him because of his position as king, involved with worldly affairs of money and affairs of state and women, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed in an indirect manner to give his mercy to Prataparudra Maharaj. The other picture is showing Govardhan Prakrama and one Vaishnava, even the rock looked pretty heavy, doing Dandavats Prakrama, paying obeisances with full Dandavats, taking in his hand one stone and placing it at his fingertips and offering obeisances to Govardhan Hill, reciting the holy names of the Lord. Thinking in this way, actively cultivating the mood of humility. I'll mention it now and say it again later. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary that by chanting offenselessly or striving to chant offenselessly, this mood awakens, this mood of humility. It becomes a decoration. We cultivate the mood of humility, Krishna decorates one with the mood of humility. It awakens from within the heart when one is striving to chant defenselessly, when one is trying to associate with the pure holy name, in pure devotion, eager to receive the pure holy name. Very important. It's not just our effort. And it's not that Krishna will just decorate us, we just hang out for a while and it's going to happen. Eager to receive, eagerly striving to cultivate. This is our teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Raghunath Das Goswami, this painting here, is showing he was so absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord in the midday sun in Vrindavan by the side of Radha Kunti, he didn't even notice, because of his, we can say, tolerance, but he was just transcending the heat of the midday sun, so much so that Srimati Radharani personally came and gave her protection from the sun by shielding him by her own garment. The position of tolerance, we'll explore this more this morning. It's discussed in Bhagavad Gita, comes to tikshas from Bharata, but that's just the beginning. Like you grit your teeth and you put up with it because it really disturbs you, but you try not to let it disturb you because Krishna said, don't let it disturb you. Okay, it doesn't disturb you. At least that much. But as this benediction of the holy name is, as we eagerly strive to receive the pure holy name, that transcendental tolerance awakens naturally from within the heart. And in between, we're continuing to cultivate that mood. Transcendental eagerness to serve Krishna, thinking of ourselves beyond material designations and coverings and conceptions of false ego, naturally the holy name awakens this mood of humility, like a blade of grass. Even lower. This is more tolerant than a tree. Taror is a tree. And disturbances come in this mood of humility, it follows. that one will then exhibit, you can say, indifference to material circumstance. Pretty extreme over here on the right side. Prahlad Maharaj being tormented by agents of his father. The protection of Prahlad Maharaj was his constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead, because he was constantly remembering the personality of Godhead. He felt fearless and nothing could harm him. He was protected by this mood, taror, api, sahishnu, na. Prabhupada explains, there may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant so that at the end of one's life one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. More tolerant than a tree. Amanina. Amanina. Not expecting any respect. This is Lord Nityananda. After being smashed in the head with a clay pot by Jaghai and Madhai, simply for requesting them, chant the holy name of the Lord. He didn't come for some respect. He wasn't expecting respect. He didn't get it either. But that didn't deter him. That was not his purpose. No expectation of respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was intolerant of his devotee, Lord Nityananda, being harmed in this way, and came with his Sudarshan Chakra. So that's Jagai and Madhai are very fearful. But the devotee that has no expectation for respect. Another nice example, Ambarish Maharaj, when the fire demon sent by Durvas Muni came to kill him for sipping water to break the Ekadasi fast on Dvadasi day. Some totally harmless act. Death penalty. Not expecting any respect. Oh, wait a minute, I'm Arjuna Ambarish. You can't do this. Or Srila Prabhupada. Those of you who have read Lilamrita can appreciate this painting of Srila Prabhupada, an aristocratic person, a pure devotee of the Lord, going into, or a Western counterpart wouldn't be Starbucks, it'd be like a bar, where people are indulging themselves in anything, sense gratification and tea drinking and reading the newspaper and what's going on and blah, 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 and intruding into the middle of their bubble and inviting them to take transcendental knowledge instead of that rubbish. Not expecting any respect in return, simply in the mood of serving the Lord and serving the Lord's devotees and fulfilling the order of his spiritual master, not expecting any respect, but ready to offer all respects to others. The king shown here in this painting receiving Narada, offering all respects, certainly to saintly persons. This is Shyamananda, first meeting Jiva Goswami, being sent by his spiritual master, Hriday Chaitanya, to study under Jiva Goswami. Full respect to others, but not only to saintly persons, all other persons. nice photograph of a little boy assisting an old man walking along a village path. One of the topics we're going to hear, I believe, today, Krishna's Mahan is going to be speaking about respecting the elderly and respecting women and children and cows and brahmanas and how important offering of respect is. Not just human beings, but the cows and even the ants. This is our Vaishnava teaching. Not just for Buddhists or Mahatma Gandhi. It's our Vaishnava teaching. We find it again and again. And we should live our lives in that way. Ready to offer all respects to others. Here's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. One should treat even animals like deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, and birds. Exactly like one's children. These are instructions of Narada. Thakur Haridas, he respected the serpent, venomous, poisonous serpent whose poison was so intense the whole cave in which he lived was stinging the eyes of those who came to visit Haridas. And they were, not only their eyes were stinging, they were afraid of Haridas' welfare. Haridas was respecting, if the snake wants to stay, better I leave. So the snake left, inspired by Supersoul. These are very elevated sentiments, but Vaishnava sentiments are elevated sentiments. I just forwarded to some persons this statement by St. Francis of Assisi, little quote, as he was walking along a path one day with some friend, he stopped, and there were many, 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 many birds in this forest of trees, and he went and gave a little sermon to the birds. My dear birds, you're receiving so much from the Lord, from our Master. He's giving you places to live. He's giving you the food that you eat. He's giving all bountiful things. Please sing his praises. Please offer worship unto him. This is our life. And went on. We're far from that way of living. But that's the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amarish Maharaj not only forgave Durvas Muni, but he offered prayers to Sudarshan, glorifying the Lord and then offering all of his pious activities. Transfer them, please, to Durvas Muni so that he will then be protected. Same Durvas Muni who just tried to kill him. Please give to Durvas Muni all of my pious activities so he'll be protected by those pious activities and please don't cause him any difficulty. He's a great Brahmin. He made a mistake. Please forgive him. Praying to the Lord. Kirtaniya Sadahari, in such a state of mind one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Srila Prabhupada and his dear followers, as pictured here, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, simply wanting to be surrounded by the pure chanting of the holy name. When there was other noise, Srila Prabhupada during classes would want the other noise to sometimes stop, although Guru Kripa shared with me when the construction of Krishna Balaram Mandir guest house was going on, the temple class was going on next door. Someone said, stop the noise, and Prabhupada said, no, that's also kirtan. Building of the guest house for Krishna. But when that active service was no longer, Prabhupada requested constant kirtan. And 24 hours, someone was by Prabhupada's side, singing very nicely or reciting from his books. Prabhupada received great pleasure. And the devotees of the Lord, because of this, these four qualifications, desire, kirtaniya, sada, hari. Once you chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and one should offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Bhishma Dev was always absorbed in pure devotion with his thoughts upon the personality of Godhead. While on the battlefield, while advising the heads of state, and while passing from this world, these four qualities are so essential. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of time and try to appreciate, turn the topic a little bit further of these basic instructions. I'd like to read directly from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, how he expresses these four qualities. The devotee who chants the holy name offenselessly is adorned with four very special qualities. So he's emphasizing the mercy factor. He will also emphasize the effort factor. But the mercy factor, and knowing the mercy factor, inspires us in the effort area of life. Krishna is very merciful. Krishna is none different than his holy name. The holy name decorates one's with these nice qualities, if one can chant defenselessly. Knowing that, one should eagerly strive for defenseless chanting. A natural meekness and humility because of his complete detachment from matter. I read it again. A natural meekness and humility because of his complete detachment from matter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that when chanting the pure holy name, because the pure holy name is the embodiment of all rasa, this excites the soul. And the soul then experiencing the appearance of the holy name directly within their heart, within their vision, this spirit of detachment arises. And with the spirit of detachment, all that goes with attachment is set aside, is cast away. All that which is born of false ego and illusion and darkness, the spirit of casting all of that away awakens through the appearance of the pure holy name within one's heart. So it goes like this. Krishna becomes the object of attraction. When, oh, when will that day be ours? Krishna becomes the object of attraction. And following behind that object of attraction, bhakti awakens. like this nice verse, bhakti parushanubhava viraktir anyatracha. From the process that Mahaprabhu has given us, the process of hearing and chanting, these three things happen. The process of hearing and chanting awakens bhakti. And following behind bhakti, or the attendants of Bhakti Devi, are these nice qualities. So like we saw that nice picture yesterday, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam, the girl, the new bride, following behind her husband very faithfully. So Bhakti Devi is serving Krishna. And if we can become the servant of Bhakti Devi, then we can become the attendant to Bhakti Devi, or decorated with the quality of humility. If we strive for pure devotional service, that quality of humility will naturally become strengthened, and detachment from all other things that keep us from being good attendants to bhakti. Prabhupada gives this example. The queen, good queen, faithful queen, chaste queen, she's given so many things by the king. And as she moves around the palace of the king, she's followed by so many attendant ladies-in-waiting. But the queen doesn't care for the ladies-in-waiting, the attendants. She cares for Krishna, for the king. Faithful queen. Nonetheless, those attendant personalities are naturally supplied by the king because of his affection for the queen and his great opulence. He wants that no difficulty goes to the queen. So for us, the queen is Srimati Radharani, or the expansion of Srimati Radharani is Bhakti Devi. We want to serve Bhakti Devi. We want to be in that mood of her service to Krishna. And when we have that mood of wanting to assist Das, Das Anu Das, the servant of the servant, then those decorations come. That's the dynamic that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sharing or teaching. And then one wants to give up. That's the effort part. One more and more wants to give up any contamination, anything other than this mood of humble service. Detect something and out. So it's both the natural arising of that spirit and the dynamic also of having more and more impetus for purity in devotion, unalloyed devotion. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching is a natural meekness and humility because of complete detachment from matter. Completely in the spiritual conception of life. The purpose of our life is to connect with Krishna in loving devotion. Ah. You can't see so well because of the light. This is the deity of Krishna Balaram in Ter Kadamba. Those of you who have been to Vrindavan, you know very well what Ter Kadamba is. It's one of the sweetest places in all of Vrindavan. And just above the door of the altar of Krishna Balaram is a verse from Danakeli Chintamani by Raghunath Das Goswami. A prayer to Rupa Goswami, where his mood is to be the servant of Rupa Goswami, who is the servant of Lalita, who is the servant of Radha, who is the servant of Krishna. Adantas Adadhanas Tranam Dantayar. Idam yache punak punak. Srimad rupa padam bhoja. Rajoham syam bhave bhave. This is the verse spoken by, this is the mood of Raghunath Das. We know Raghunath Das was renounced, but his humility is also heart-melting. And one of the chief objects of his affection and love was Rupa Goswami. Because he knew how dear Rupa Goswami was to Lord Chaitanya, and anyone who's near to Lord Chaitanya is an object of love and affection. For Raghunath Das Goswami or any true devotee. So he's Adadhanas Pranam Dantayar. Adadhanas, he's taking Pranam, Trin, again, straw in his teeth. Dantayar. Idham Yache. Yache means I beg. I beg the following. Again and again, punak punak. Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja, from the lotus feet Padam Bhoja of Rupa Goswami. Rajoham, I want some dust. Again and again and again. Just some dust from the feet of my dearmost elevated object of affection and worship and love, Rupa Goswami. Bhave, bhave. Birth after birth. Very nice. Such a beautiful expression of humility. And how elevated was Raghunath Das Goswami? We showed that picture before, Raghunath Das Goswami, complete, because of this humility, he was absorbed in the holy name. So absorbed in the holy name, Radha came to serve him. So absorbed in the holy name, the pastime of Krishna would appear in his heart. So absorbed in the holy name that he was beloved by all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, and yet his mood was, just give me some dust from the feet of the exalted, dearmost Rupa Goswami. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. This is the mood of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. We're trying to become followers of Lord Chaitanya. We can learn how to become followers of Lord Chaitanya from those who are. Some of you who have been to Vrindavan have had the good fortune of being with Dinabandhu Prabhu, and when he offers prayers, you listen very carefully, you'll hear this prayer. He's following the mood of Raghunath, who's serving Rupa Goswami, who's serving Lalita, who's serving Radharani, who's serving Krishna. That's our Vaishnava manner. More humble in a blade of grass. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses in his commentary here that he sees false ego and the fruits, like the byproducts of false ego, as utterly useless, because it has nothing to do with my original spiritual self, nor in turn nothing to do with my real life. So this mood of humility says, cast away. So it's like eliminate, expunge, like throw out from the heart all things born of false ego. And that opens the door for eagerly assimilating, bringing in the mercy and striving for pure devotion. I'm responding now to Sri Radhika's question yesterday. That awakening spirit has to come. Then there's Purnamrita Svadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Brahma. Then we'll experience those glories. And so much, the whole spiritual world becomes accessed through this offenseless chanting of the holy name in the mood of pure devotion. Again and again, we should, as the access is the mercy of the devotees, the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees' feet, to get the access to the pure holy name. The pure holy name. Through pure devotion, heart free from all material attachments. We're far from there, but we need to strive for that. That's Rupa Goswami's teaching, which is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, which is this first verse of Shikshastakam. That's just the first line. Trinnadapi samichena taror iva sahishnuna. Taror is a tree. There's a verse, there's a previous section here. There's supposed to be a going to another section. Anyway, okay. What does a tree do? What's so taror iva sahishnina? What's so wonderful about a tree? The tree mentioned three things from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching. The tree is always serving. Unconditional service. Shade for the peacocks in the heat of the summer sun. Or leaves, or fruits, or flowers in season. And one is cold, so here's some wood to make you warm. It's too hot, here's some shade to make you cool. Simply serving, simply serving, simply serving, simply a life of nothing but service, unconditional service. Not if you treat me bad, I don't know if I'm going to serve anymore. Unconditional service. When that mood of unconditional service is there, Jiva Goswami teaches that approaches the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform is connecting with Krishna. Service unto Krishna, that's the spiritual platform. But the mood of constant service, because constitutionally that's what we are, we're servants. When one is in that mood of constant service, then the dualities aren't going to determine service or no service. Because it's warm within, it's service. Service unto Krishna, who is the unchanging object of our love and service. Without expectation of return, because this fruitive thing, this nasty stain of fruitive, I want something back. I have an expectation, at least. It's only fair. How many times I've heard this? I do this for somebody in my friends or relatives or whoever it is. And look how they treated me. I feel hurt. Unconditional service, without expectation. Then what Bhakti Vinod Thakur says is a compassion arises. Instead of thinking, Why are they not giving back in kind as I'm giving to them in service? A higher sentiment arises. That's compassion. Compassion isn't condescending, looking down. It's compassion. It's caring. He describes, here's his language, one who chants offenselessly is overwhelmed with thoughts of others' well-being. It just springs from the heart. Not how are they treating me, like what's coming to me. How are they feeling? What are their feelings, thoughts? What's their well-being? It naturally arises within the heart of one who's offenselessly chanting. Krishna decorates one with this nice quality. So, what to speak of tolerance? It's feelings for others' well-being. That looks from the outside like tolerance. From the inside, it's feelings for others' well-being. This is a decoration of the chanting of the holy name. And on the other side, we strive for that quality. Our previous Gita Nagari retreat, it was on this quality of compassion. If you can remember, 1 year ago. You can hardly remember 1 day ago. Compassion is a natural decoration. And we should strive for it, cultivate it by various means. And be eager for the pure holy name, this self-compassion, without envy. Not who is up and who is down. I'm up, so you're down. Or you're up, I don't like that, I want to be up. It doesn't matter. The devotee likes to be down. The devotee likes to be. Raghunath Das Goswami is our acharya for the ultimate perfection, prayojana guru of all Vaishnavas, and he's at the feet of Rupa Goswami with straw in his teeth saying, dust, birth after birth, again and again, and pleading, begging. No who's up, who's down. No comparing this Vaishnav, that Vaishnav. That's the material platform. We can appreciate some devotee is decorated so nicely by Krishna with this quality, but beware of comparing. We want to serve and glorify and appreciate and take the humble position in all respects. Praying in this way, praying to the Lord in this way, the devotee's heart is flooded with spiritual emotions. And he begins to sing loudly, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gati Ranita, thinking, let this holy name flood the world. Let all hearts become relieved of these pains of material existence, completely unnecessary pain. May this mercy of the holy name flood the world. This is compassion. We call it preaching. It's an act that flows in a natural way. So we may strive to do some preaching, or now it's more politically correct, we say outreach. So, make the holy name manifest in this world, springing out of a pure heart. This is the mood that Lord Chaitanya is saying. Then we will taste and have an attraction for the pure holy name. Two more of the qualities. Amani is a spotless heart, free from false ego and false prestige. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that all the upadis, the designations of I am fill in the blank. Born a false ego. Other than Gopi Bhartur Padakamali or Dhat. Thus our real identity is the servant of the servant of the servant in this humble mood of service. Other than that, it's born a false ego. And it's completely incompatible with our true spiritual identity, and it blocks the flow of love for Krishna. So, one, he writes, to completely reject these false designations is to have a spotless heart. So this is the effort side. We are so accustomed to this dear friend of ours, false ego. In fact, we think it's us. But the spirit of detachment for the devotee is it's not us. And it's an encumbrance. It has nothing to do with us. It's a pain. It is the source of our pain, our misery. And bringing misery to others is carrying that consciousness. So, amanina. Striving for this spotless heart. And because is Krishna going to come in a dirty place? Krishna will come in a clean place. Let us strive, but we can't make our heart clean because we're dirty. Krishna! Calling in that way. Free from false pride and false prestige. Then finally, ready to offer all respects to others. Manada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, this is the fourth symptom of the devotee who chants without offenses. There's three parts to this. He's without envy. To offer respects to others, you can't have envy, because then if you have envy, you want them down. That's envy. So free from envy, you want to appreciate how up they are. Whatever it is that as a decoration that Krishna has given them, let me appreciate that. He understands that all living entities are eternal servants of Lord Krishna, so he's never envious of anyone. Then service. No envy. Ruled by this power of humble service. He pleases everyone with sweet and sincere words. Not, I do that with my friends and my enemies. There's a stare down. Everyone pleases everyone with sweet and sincere words. And his exemplary life brings benediction to the whole world. Then the opposite of no envy is offering respect once again. In this world, he offers his respect to distinguished personalities and learned brahmanas. And to the demigods, he offers obeisances with utmost humility, praying to them to increase his devotion to Lord Krishna. To elevated Vaishnavas and pure devotees, he offers his services with heart and soul. Conclusion, and we're past our time. Conclusion. Chanting of the holy name, adorned with these four blessed qualities, is the highest success of human life. The highest success of human life. Chanting the holy name, pure holy name, adorned with these four qualities. Wearing like an ornament, like a strung on the thread of the holy name, this verse, constantly, constantly, constantly. One of my godbrothers, Kurmarupa, in Vrindavan, has a little tattoo on his chest. Trinadapi sunichena toryasi. Kirtaniya siddhahari. Taking quite literally Lord Chaitanya's instruction. can't even take it off. It's the mood. And taking the instruction within the heart stirs that mood. And one feels the potency of Lord Chaitanya's munificence, and one can cultivate those qualities. Here's the conclusion. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is now being quoted directly, and he's summarizing this verse number 3. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. And like a tree, he tolerates everything. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. It yields up its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone, tolerating scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet giving shelter to all. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the residence of Krishna. Krishna is in the heart. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. We can't go further in Shikshastakam, or the gift that Lord Chaitanya came to give, the awakening of deeper stages of love for Krishna, without accomplishing what this weekend's retreat is about. Trinadapi sinichena tarori basahishana manina manadena kirtaniya sabhavadi. I'm going past my time. Take some questions. Anyone would like? Any questions? Taking dust from the lotus feet of the devotees, how do we practically apply it? Well, I can tell you what not to do. In a joking, playful manner, sometimes the devotees will grab another devotee's foot and and the other devotee gets very disturbed. Why have you done that? And they have a touching each other's feet altercation. That's something not to do. It's literal and figurative. It's a mood, a feeling like that. So that's the prayer of Raghunath to Rupa. It's in his book. So he's writing the mood, wanting. And of course, Rupa is not going to want, oh yes, very good, here's a whole jar full. Help yourself. The Rupa, the elevated devotee, is not wanting like that, but the other devotee is wanting like that. The mood. Like you, the blade of grass might get stepped on. The dust is sticking. So the cultivation of a mood in practical terms, wanting to serve that which is clinging to the lowest part of one's body, So we'll discuss this some more this evening. There's some very nice examples of Vaishnavas who had that mood, and so they can show us how to have that mood. Yes? You have a good.
When I remember thinking examples of exalted Vaishnavas that are living in these colonies, I'm thinking of embarrassment or being disgusted with the lack of feeling my own confidence. So I feel like there's been my addiction, those tendencies of the positive pace.
I'm not catching all of what you're saying. It's what were you feeling? What?
A feeling of being embarrassed or disgusted at my own covering.
Okay, that's good. That's not bad. That's good. Now, where do you go from there? Just stay there. No. What's the result of just staying there? It's taking shelter of the mode of ignorance. I'm sad and I'm going to get more sad. I'm lamenting and I lament some more and feel bad about myself. Notice who's at the center. It's me. It's all about me. Woe is me. It's the impetus to both reach out and strive. I must make greater effort. I need the mercy of Krishna. That's where you go. The sentiment is a Vaishnava sentiment, provided it goes to Krishna. And the sentiment is mundane and debilitating if it stays there. That's why these Vaishnava sentiments of humility are most exalted. And we try to imitate, we're in the pits. More on this. This evening's topic is humility, so we'll explore it more. Start from where we are. We can't pretend that we're not where we are. That doesn't help. You can do that, but I mean, we have to have a little reality check with where are we. And that's why having peers and those who are helping to guide, that's our reality check. We're accountable to persons and they can help us understand where we are. Plus, no, in our heart of hearts we know, but we're pretty much, covered, so the heart of hearts is not so easy to access. But intuitively, no. And from wherever we are, we begin. But we also should know, as we're doing here, here's the model. Here's the role model for us to aspire for. Okay? Now back to where I am. I'm going to work from just tolerating, in the raw sense of tolerate. But when you withdraw consciousness from from duality, where are you going to place it? You should place it in non-duality. Place it in Sat. So what's Sat? From Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, you withdraw from duality, it's on the platform of the soul. That's where your attention should go. What is eternal? Otherwise, you're like, you're in the, you're nirvishe shunyavadi. Not this. But what are you? Well, I don't know what I am, but I'm not this. So invest consciousness in Sat. At whatever level you can place consciousness in Sat that matches your own trajectory in spiritual evolution. Start with the mood of service. Not only am I spirit soul, but as spirit soul, what do I do as a spirit soul? I serve. So let me look for some service. And in the mood of service, let me cultivate that. And that's a shield or a protection from duality. Like a practical example, going to the workplace. There's all this, whatever you want to call it, going on. Duality, nonsense, you know, completely not Krishna conscious garbage stuff going on. People talking and eating and blah blah. And so now, where's my protection? It's the mood of service. Immediately it's a protection. So, cultivate. You tolerate through that mood of, through the protection of service. How can I serve Guru and Krishna in this circumstance? Place consciousness in Sat and withdraw from Asat. Is a starting place. And then higher and higher and higher, as our acharyas show by example. I got the first sentence, I didn't get the second one. Try it, go ahead.
I'm trying to understand how humility and compassion go together.
Got it.
So humility, as I understand today, if one feels lower than a blade of the grass.
If
so
one does what?
Feels
lower than a blade of grass. On the spiritual platform, the respect goes to the soul and Krishna. The behaviors are not respectable. So it's an extension of the verse where Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Samadarshana. How do you see equally a devotee and a non-devotee? There's differences. But on the spiritual plane, there's the soul. And Krishna is within the heart of that soul. So, that's where, on the spiritual platform. And then, compassion is, look at this unfortunate condition of the soul. Without going into a detail, someone was sharing with me the other day, my in-laws. So if one is on the spiritual platform, it's compassion. How much are they suffering? It's not just, they're putting all this bad energy towards me. I don't like it. But they're suffering. And that bad energy is an exhibition of their suffering. So instead of, so one level, back to Rahul's question, tolerate it. But beyond that is the chanting of the holy name, it's compassion arises. One can see beyond how it's impacting on me and see what's going on with them. You're suffering. Needlessly. And that sense of suffering is of others. It's the company, the companion of compassion is service. No, if we don't have that mood, it's protection. Here's this bad energy coming at me. I don't like it. They make me unhappy. Instead, what service can I do? I may not have the presence of mind of what service I can do, but thinking like that, it protects one from duality. It places one in the internal potency. One is uplifted. And then when one is uplifted, then inspiration from Krishna can come. What can I do? Practically. At least be Krishna conscious in the circumstance instead of being sucked into the duality of the circumstance. That's our weakness. But Krishna's strength places us in the position of service with compassion. And then there's the connection. It's above tolerance. It's the fullness of tolerance. Over here. Last question, then we'll break.
My wife said, how to cultivate the mood of humility from heart? Because I feel most of the time I do it in the platform of mind. Because once in a while when I feel that I have acted a little humbly, even though I know that it's only by the mercy of my superiors, I feel very happy. And the next time I fail to do it, after some time it's not consistent actually.
Well, go back to Rahul's question of, we have to start where we are. And the position that you just described is, here's where I am. I'm accepting through the mind. And proof of it is, sometimes accepting, sometimes rejecting. That's the mind. And the heart isn't sometimes and sometimes. It's always. Sada. Always. So, the mind on the spiritual platform follows the heart. We have to access the heart, not just, the on-off switch of the mind. So now, back to the theme of what I presented this morning and following the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instructing, two things, effort and mercy. Each time there's an act, let that act, whether it's tolerance or compassion or service or some kind, check in with Supersoul, with the instructions of Guru and Krishna. Let me do this for them. And again and again, and you make a little path through that forest of the mind, right to the heart, and do it for them. Cultivate effort. And then, as you do that, you realize this mind is so strong. It's like hopeless. Krishna! That's actually asking for mercy. It's not just, Krishna, clean up this mess, will you? I'm tired. Effort and mercy. And count on the fact that Krishna is kind. But like that verse of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das to Rupa Goswami, very nice. Puna, puna, bhave, bhave. When do you cross the finish line? When do you say, I'm there? You don't say that. He's there. He's not saying that. There's our Acharya. He's letting us know. It's the mood. Then you're there. Or then you have the seed that will grow into a plant, into a flowering, fruit-bearing creeper of love of God. And in that stage of love of God, puna, puna, pave, pave. Oh, Vaishnav Thakur. Oh, great devotee. Oh, Rupa Goswami. Straw in my teeth, please. Mercy. Please. That's all I want. He's making effort. He's in that mood. And that's the how to cultivate. Our acharyas are teaching us in very beautiful poetic language. Take that into your heart. Fix it in your heart. See the world through that message. Practice it. Then you move from the platform of the mind to the platform of the heart. And don't go to the place that says, but I've tried, and Maharaj, and the mind. Don't go there. Go to the spiritual side. Take the mercy of our acharyas. Take the inspiration they're offering. Bring that into your heart. They will carry you. Trust it. Okay. Thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.